Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
March is Red Cross Month, and we had this interview booked a few weeks ago, and then, as it turns out, there's an actual natural disaster going on in the northern part in the panhandle of the state, and so it really worked out that we had this already booked. Joining me to talk about the mission of the Red Cross and it being Red Cross Month, but also to talk about the Smokehouse Creek fire, is Richard McAllister, who is the chief meteorologist for the Southwest and Rocky Mountain Division for the Red Cross. Welcome back to Inside Austin.
Thank you for the opportunity to come back. It's a pleasure to speak with you again.
And we spoke the last time when a different state was on fire, and that was when Hawaii and Maui specifically was having, its biggest wildfire in history. And now we're experiencing something similar. Granted, our state is a lot bigger, but it is a reoccurring thing. It is something that you probably know better than just about anyone else as a meteorologist, but also as somebody who works for the Red Cross, where when there's an emergency, you guys have boots on the ground. You have people being sent out. You have a mechanism in place to go help. And, you know, the last time you and I spoke, it was about the boots on the ground and the work being done in Hawaii. And now, coincidentally, we are talking about what's happening in our own state.
It's always a tragic situation whenever disaster strikes any community. When it hits closer to home, we start to feel the impacts more. And it makes me realize the importance of the work being done by our Red Cross volunteers around the United States. That's why it's so important to take time every March to say thank you to the Red Cross volunteers and the Red Cross donors that make this disaster response possible. We do currently have a response going on to the Smokehouse Creek fire. We have a shelter open in North Texas, and we currently have Red Cross volunteers that are deployed and supporting those communities as they continue to go through this terrible fire. We've already had two fatalities and many homes that have been burned, and that's tragic. But it's important to remember that even as you and I are recording this interview, the fire is not over. The fire continues. They're getting a little bit of a reprieve from the wind today, but the winds are going to start picking up later this afternoon. And by Saturday and Sunday, we're expecting those winds to be coming out of the southwest at anywhere to 40 to 50 miles an hour. So some residents have been given the opportunity to return to their house and to gather some items and then to get out quickly because of the realization that this disaster is not over. It is continuing to evolve, and there will be greater loss of property at least. and potentially greater loss of life.
Brutal honesty, right now it is 1:30 on Friday, March 1st. That is when we're recording this. And so just in case some information has changed between now and when this airs, but we are talking a very big picture here. So while percentages may change of the fire being contained or something like that, this is going to be something that is ongoing for a good period of time, not just for the people who live there, obviously, but for the Red Cross and being on the ground helping the residents that are going through the worst thing that they probably will ever go through in their lives. And that is one of the things that is so amazing about the Red Cross, is they are always there for people when they are experiencing some of the worst moments in their lives, and they help them rebuild. And that's why as a community, it's our responsibility to donate. And not just because it's March, not just because that there is a Red Cross month, and not just because that there is a fire literally in our own backyard, but it is because it is the big picture reach that the Red Cross has that is on just a daily basis, whether it is a small house fire in your city or whether it is something as large as the fires that end up destroying communities in Maui. And so it is our responsibility to go to redcross.org and to volunteer. And if you have a mechanism to be able to help them go to these places or have an expertise that they can use, going to redcross.org and being able to find out how you can help with more than just your money, it's quite frankly our responsibility to do these things. And I'm talking to a guy who is a meteorologist and somebody who is also a spokesperson for the Red Cross. And as I said earlier, there's somebody, you know, he's going to know about this sort of thing more than anyone. And we are still, or you are still, as an organization in Hawaii, you are still dealing with the tragedy that happened there. And it's just proof to, I forget when we spoke last time, but it was months ago, if not almost a year, and you still have a presence there. You're still working there. You're still trying to get people's lives back together.
Yeah, we're still in Maui and we're still responding to 15 other national disasters across the nation. After the interest in a story has evaporated, the Red Cross remains behind to help those individuals recover. And it is a long road to recovery. We currently have 18 shelters open around the United States. We have 283 residents in those shelters as of last night. And we're responding still to disasters in Maui. We're still responding to the Idalia hurricane. We're still responding to the flooding that occurred in South Texas and a dozen other major national disasters that have long escaped the attention of the general public. But we're still there, and we're going to be helping those people until the need is met. And you touched upon something just a moment ago that I wanted to emphasize. There seems to be a developing misconception that the American Red Cross is a government agency, and we are not. We are a private charity, and the work that we do is done because generous people made donations and because volunteers gave up their time to go and help. I know people that have gone to Maui that have only 2 weeks of vacation from their job, and they've committed and then gone and used their entire 2 week annual vacation to help somebody that they don't even know. And that just amazes me to know that we still have people that are that committed to helping others, people that they've never known in places that they've never been. But when disaster strikes, the Red Cross is going to be there. Even here in Central and South Texas, just in the last 60 days, so since January 1st of this year, the American Red Cross has deployed 328 times here in our Central Texas area. 301 of those were house fires. So when the Red Cross arrives on scene, a lot of times what you find is people in shock, standing out in their front yard, looking at the smoldering ruins of what was their house earlier this morning. And you find them on the darkest day of their lives. And it's so wonderful to be able to go up and put an arm around them, wrap them up in that iconic Red Cross blanket and say, I know you haven't been down this road before, but we have. We're here. We're going to help you down this road to recovery. So whether you lose your house in a single family fire somewhere out in the Central and South Texas area, or whether you lose your home as part of a vast inferno like what we saw in Maui and what we're seeing now in the Texas Panhandle, the effects are the same. And we're going to be there to help those folks out on what for many of them is the darkest day of their life.
Joining me on Inside Austin to talk about March being Red Cross Month, but to also talk about the Smokehouse Creek fire and the fires going on in the Texas Panhandle is Chief Meteorologist of the Southwest and Rocky Mountain Divisions of the American Red Cross, Richard McAllister. If you would like more information on the Red Cross, or if you would like to be able to donate, go to redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS, which is 1-800-733-2767. You had touched on where things fade out of the news, but the vast majority of the work that the Red Cross does is for things that probably didn't even make the news. And if they did, it was for 15 seconds. There was a mention that there was a house fire in Southwest Austin, this, that, and the other thing, and that's the end of it. And there is no follow-up story or anything like that. You know, the vast majority of what the Red Cross is out there doing isn't on the news. And so while it is an issue that we do tend to forget and our giving tends to fade as things do move out of the news and out of the news cycle and out of our own memories. And, oh, that's right, I forgot that there was a big wildfire in Maui. These things tend not to stick in our heads, particularly when you've got a lot of things dealing that you have to deal with in the immediate. But the amazing thing that the Red Cross does is they are there for a long term. And, you know, you said you walked up to, you know, hold them, put them in the iconic blanket and all of that stuff. But one of the things you didn't say that a Red Cross person will walk up and say that everything's going to be okay. One of the things that they teach you as a first responder or a firefighter or any of those sorts of things is don't roll up on scene and say that, because there's a distinct possibility that everything isn't going to be okay. If somebody has been in a horrible car accident, don't run up and say that everything's going to be okay, because that may not be the case. And while you're trying to give them comfort in that moment, you're not doing them any good by lying to them or... And so it's one of those things that I noticed that you didn't say that. And I think that that's very important, because I think the Red Cross understands while things are not okay now, we know how to get you to the place where they are.
I think you make a very good point. People don't want to hear that things are going to be okay. What they want to hear is we're here to help. They want to know that they are not alone, that somebody cares, that somebody is going to be with them and to show them the route to recovery. And we do tell them it's going to be a long road to recovery, but we're here to help you with that road to recovery. And we get a good amount of training on dealing with disaster mental health issues, as well as meeting those physical needs. And we get a lot of experience here in Central Texas. We respond to about 6 house fires every day. So the odds are that even as you and I are talking, there's probably 2 or 4 Red Cross responders out in the field somewhere in Central Texas looking after a family who's lost their house today. And to them, that is the headline story of the day. As tragic as what is happening in the Texas Panhandle is for that family, they're dealing with the fact that their home and their memories in many cases are gone.
And that's the scope of what you do, is you're there in the Texas Panhandle, which if you look at the map, that's, you know, it is perhaps another thing that is done that is an injustice to the situation, is that's not the only fire that's happening in the area, but it's obviously the biggest one. But if you look, there are numerous fires around it that each have their own name. And there are, you know, this isn't a situation where they've got it under control yet, and they're close enough to one another, and I'm not going to make any predictions, and I'm certainly not going to ask you to make any predictions either, is, you know, it looks like there's the possibility that these could end up becoming a bigger fire by merging. And I can only imagine what it must be like to have to plan the logistics and to handle a situation as it is developing, as it is happening, like this current situation we have in the Panhandle. I know that it's obviously a completely different picture than what you've got in the weeks and months afterwards. That is a little bit more deliberate and planned and controlled, but I can only imagine what the resources spread thin can be that you've got a small, what did you say, 6 house fires a day, in addition to the fact that you're probably, your resources are stretched thin based on the fact that there is a giant, the biggest in our state's history, fire in the top of the state.
Well, the fire that you're talking about, the fire that we're talking about, Smokehouse Creek Fire, is part of a larger complex of fires. And we talk about everything is bigger in Texas, and that goes for our wildfires as well. Now, you and I are used to jumping on the interstate and driving 70 miles an hour through Texas. If you were to get on an interstate that were running through the heart of this fire and drive at 70 miles an hour, it would take you about an hour and a half to drive from one part of the fire complex to the opposite end of the fire complex. We're talking about a fire at this point that is nearly 99 miles in length. Now, not every area in that 99 miles is on fire, but it is splotched throughout that 99-mile corridor with different fires as the fires have spread, as they've popped up. And of course, that makes that creates a challenge logistically. Now, fortunately, we have very good planners, and the planners have looked at these scenarios, and our warehouses are full, and our vehicles are ready to go. We underwent a big plan to refurbish a lot of our disaster response vehicles over the winter. The American Red Cross does manage the nation's largest private fleet of disaster response vehicles, and those vehicles are well maintained, and they are operational, and they are responding right now. And I'm glad to say that we still have enough in reserve to respond to all of the fires that we might have locally. And we still have enough held in reserve to where if something else were to happen, another fire or a severe weather outbreak, that we have enough vehicles to respond to that as well. So the warehouses are full, the trucks are available, the people are willing, and we're doing what the Red Cross has been doing since Clara Barton founded it 141 years ago, and that's alleviating human suffering wherever we see it. And back in 1943, President Roosevelt declared this to be Red Cross Month because he saw the way the American Red Cross pitched in and helped out our armed forces during World War II. And that is a mission that continues today. We have a separate line of business called Service to Armed Forces that helps those service personnel as they deploy, as they leave their families behind, as they have emergency communications and emergency travel needs. So we continue to take care of the nation's armed forces as they protect our freedoms.
Joining me on Inside Austin to talk about March being Red Cross Month, but to also talk about the Smokehouse Creek Fire and the fires going on in the Texas Panhandle is Chief Meteorologist of the Southwest and Rocky Mountain Divisions of the American Red Cross, Richard McAllister. If you would like more information on the Red Cross, or if you would like to be able to donate, go to redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS, which is 1-800-733-2767. I had no idea that the Red Cross had an arm that did that, that was even part of its sort of founding mission. It's pretty amazing. The scope that the Red Cross has, and that's once again sort of illustrates my point earlier, that a lot of the work that you guys do isn't very glamorous. It isn't on the news. There isn't a lot of fanfare around it. And that's why it's our responsibility to help them meet those goals of keeping those warehouses full and being able to deploy the experts to the area that are needed in order to help the people that are, as we've said more than once, going through the worst thing that they're going to go through. And it is easy to see on the news for 15, 20 seconds what a story is, but it's a completely different thing to live it. It is a completely different thing for, as he said earlier, for it to be your main story, for it to be the main focus of your life for the next little while. And the Red Cross is there to, as he said, help alleviate human suffering like their founding missions started. But what he also said is they're there to let you know that you have some help. You have someone walking along with you during this disaster and the recovery afterwards. And so while we are talking about the fires that are in the panhandle, and for those of you out there that on the slim chance that you're listening to the podcast version of this and you don't know exactly what we're talking about as far as where the Texas panhandle is it's in northern Texas. It is right by the Oklahoma border. These things are happening north of Amarillo, a little northeast of Amarillo, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So it's just to give those out there that don't know Texas's geography a little bit of context. And so these are things that, one, that isn't that far from a relatively decent-sized city, but it is also, Texas is huge. I had no idea how big Texas, like you hear about it, but I'm originally from the Northeast where the states are the size of postage stamps. And I thought when I lived in Colorado was big, and then I moved here. And it is hard to grasp the concept looking at the current fire map as I just pulled it up, and these things, as I said, are happening in the northeast of Amarillo. A lot of this is in the middle of nowhere, and it is so hard to fight these kinds of fires, and it is so hard to provide resources for these kinds of things when you can't even get to where the fires are happening. And I'm looking at this map, and obviously there are roads and there are small little communities near there, but there's a lot of nothing, and that's hard. That's a logistic issue, and those things end up costing money. I hate to put this into the media, trying to talk about how there is a current fire going on and try and turn it into something that's fundraising, but these things, as he said, happen pretty regularly, and to be able to go to redcross.org and help them be ahead of the curve on these things. They're the great example of an ounce of prevention beats a pound of cure, and being able to be out there helping these people now and still be there for months to come, because this is going to be an ongoing story. A lot of these things, and I think you will correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of these things end up getting worse before they get better, and this is one of those where this will probably get worse. As I said, we're recording this at, it's 1:54 on March 1st right now. There's a distinct possibility that this fire is going to get worse before it gets better, correct?
I think you can say that with some degree of confidence. I've looked at the wind models for the area tomorrow and on Sunday, and the southwesterly winds are forecast to come back through that area between 45 and 50 miles an hour, which will be equivalent to what we saw yesterday and the day prior to that as this fire first ignited and spread so rapidly. So yeah, this is a brief reprieve today, but tomorrow and Sunday it's going to get devastatingly bad again, and we're going to see more property lost for sure. Hopefully no more lives lost. But I like what you said just a moment ago about an ounce of prevention. And there's something I want to make you aware of, and that is we would much rather prevent a home fire than respond to it. And did you know that the American Red Cross will provide you with 4 free smoke detectors and will come out to your house and install them for free? These are the volunteers in your community. They will come out to your home. Perhaps you are not able to get up on a ladder anymore to install the smoke detectors. Our volunteers will do that for you. Most people don't realize that smoke detectors have a limited lifespan of about 10 years.
We need to make sure that it's people know it's not just the battery, it's a smoke detector
itself. No, it's not just the batteries. The batteries we encourage you to change twice a year when we spring forward and fall back. That's a good way to remember that. But if your smoke detector is more than 10 years old, then there's a very good chance that the sensor is no longer functioning. And it doesn't matter how many batteries you put into it. When the time comes, it may not operate properly. And Brian, what's very difficult about this is the way that some of the smoke alarms were manufactured in the past. When you push that test button, it will emit the audible alarm and make you think that it is testing successfully, when in fact the sensor may have worn out years ago, and it's simply useless piece of equipment. So if you are looking at your smoke alarm right now and you're thinking that it's over 10 years old, there should be a expiration date sticker on that smoke alarm. And if you, in fact, need a smoke alarm, you can call your local chapter of the American Red Cross and schedule someone to come out, and they will install up to 4 absolutely free.
And if you can't find an expiration date, and if you don't know, treat it like milk and just go ahead and get rid of it.
That sounds like good advice. You can also call the Red Cross volunteers in your neighborhood. They have some skill at identifying those faulty smoke detectors. And if they come out, they'll be able to help you determine if your smoke detector is working properly. So we would much rather spend the time and the money preventing a fire than responding to a fire. And thousands of lives have been saved because of Red Cross smoke detectors. So give your local chapter a call. We'll come out. We'll put up the ladder. We'll go up to the ceiling and replace those smoke detectors for you.
If you want to be able to help, go to redcross.org or call 1-800-733-2767. That's 1-800-RED-CROSS. Joining me to talk about the Smokehouse Creek fires and to talk about March being Red Cross Month and to talk about a few other things is Richard McAllister, who is a spokesperson and also the chief meteorologist for the Southwest and Rocky Mountain divisions of the Red Cross. Once again, redcross.org. For more or to donate or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. He was talking earlier about how many house fires they respond to on a daily basis just here in the area, and you noticed that he didn't really bring up fatalities, and that is because of smoke detectors, that is because of fire retardant technology and sprinkler systems and things like that. While the structure may burn and your memories and your belongings may not survive, you will, and that's one of the amazing things when it comes to just our fire departments, to give them a shout out, but also to places like the Red Cross, where they understand that when you burn your bacon and your smoke detector is going off and it's annoying you, it's doing its job. And while that may be loud and piercing, you have to think of it in the context of, let's say there's a cord that has melted and caught on fire. It's going to do the same thing in the middle of the night, and that's going to get you out of your house. It's going to get your family out of your house. And that is one of the things that I always like to point out, and I don't know if it's because I used to be a firefighter, but one of the things I always like to point out is 90% of the time, firefighters are running into a burning building to save your couch and to save your picture photo albums and things like that, because you got out. You got out because there are laws as far as egresses. There are laws as far as fire retardant technology and having sprinklers and having smoke detectors, and these things will save your life.
The smoke detector technology has become so advanced that the smoke detectors can sense the threat of fire before you can even see the smoke. If you look at some of the Red Cross safety videos, you just go out to YouTube and look at some of the home security camera coverage of house fires, you'll see consistently that those smoke detectors go off. And the room looks absolutely normal. There's no smoke in the house. They are truly a lifesaver because of the amount of time that they give you to respond and to get out of your house. So smoke detectors, I just cannot imagine living in a home without a smoke detector, and there's no reason that you should. Call the Red Cross, and we will come install them for you.
And once again, it is whether it is in the long term and having to deal with the situation at its worst, or having to be there for prevention, or being there for the months afterwards. That is the amazing thing with the Red Cross. And so, you know, March is Red Cross Month. And as I said to start this interview, we had booked this weeks in advance, and just looking to talk about the Red Cross in general. And then there was an actual disaster in our backyard, and it proves the point that much more of just how important an organization and just the wide breadth of help that they can give to have the Red Cross, to have a situation where they are there as things are unfolding, as the disaster is still happening, and they are there for the foreseeable future afterwards. And so I don't say this about all charities. I say this about a few of them that come on here and nonprofits is it's our responsibility, like a blood bank. It is our responsibility to make sure that these things are funded and these things have the donations that they need. And it's not just necessarily money. We've talked about this a couple of times already, where you need to have, like, for instance, Richard is a meteorologist, and that's not what you would expect necessarily to be employed by the Red Cross, and let alone to join this goofy little show to talk about it, so I appreciate that. But it's amazing the amount of things that they need as far as expertise and as far as man hours and as far as just, quite frankly, grunt work. And that is where you can help in many different ways. That is where we can obviously donate. Go to redcross.org and donate your funds, but you can also donate your talents and your time, and being able to help them in a bigger picture, and perhaps even be on the ground helping people as they are experiencing the worst moments of their life. That is how you make a difference in the world. And I am a firm believer that service to others is the rent you pay to be part of a society. And the Red Cross is a great way to be a part of that. And we all know what the Red Cross does. We see it on the TV all the time. And we know right now what they're doing in Northern Texas. And so being able to help them and being able to help them in a grand way when they're out there helping the citizens in a grand way, it's quite frankly our responsibility. And so I can't thank you enough, Richard, for coming on. I can't thank you enough for your information, but also for the work that you do. You're literally making the world a better place.
Well, thank you, but it's really not me. The people to thank are the 2,159 volunteers that have deployed in support of a natural disaster since January 1st of this year. Those are people, ordinary folks from our communities, that have decided that it is more important to go help their fellow man recover from disaster than it is to take that 2 weeks of vacation. 2,159 volunteers. Even as we speak right now, there are 333 volunteers on duty serving around the nation. There are 17 in transit to go and help in those 18 shelters that I mentioned a moment ago, with those 283 residents that have lost their home. You know, somebody calls the Red Cross every 8 minutes. Our National Dispatch Center averages about 636 calls a day. That phone gets answered about every 11 seconds. One of our responders picks up a phone, and we have somebody assigned, a Red Cross volunteer. From the time that we are made aware of the disaster, it takes us about 71 minutes to get a Red Cross team on their way. And 90%, at least 90% of the time, those are volunteers in the community. We're coming up on tornado season. We're coming up on hurricane season. Now is the time to get the training and to make the commitment that you want to be involved as a donor or as a volunteer. Because one thing we know, the disasters will not stop. They will continue day after day as we continue to serve.
Richard McAllister, who is a meteorologist at the Red Cross, is joining me on Inside Austin. If you would like more on the Red Cross, if you would like more on how you can help, go to redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. And as a meteorologist, you're somebody who knows firsthand that our climate is changing. And I know that there is a whole issue that unfortunately that has been politicized that comes along with that conversation. But the reality of it is that our climate is changing. Not, you know, our weather is wacky, but our climate is changing and there is a difference. And so it is going to happen more often. People who are living in places that were sort of kind of flood prone are going to be more often to flood. And these things are going to change. And that is going to be more of a stretch of what the Red Cross already does. And I really cannot implore you enough to go to their website and to donate and to be a part of this helping hand that is everywhere that you look. And I am not saying this as a criticism of any police department, so I'm not going to say what city that this happened in, but I lived in an apartment complex and there was a shooting. Nobody got shot. Somebody shot a car. Just want to, you know, put it out there that somebody had shot at his girlfriend's car. I called the police and it took them longer than 71 minutes to show up. And you said that you have a response team out the door within 71 minutes as a rule.
24 hours a day. So if that call comes in at 2 o'clock in the morning, we have willing volunteers that are willing to get up in the middle of the night and go and help their neighbors. And for the most part, that's what this is. Neighbors helping neighbors. So the people that help in Austin are for the most part people that live in Austin. The neighbors that help in San Antonio are members of that community. So these are your friends and your neighbors that are needing help. And that provides some motivation, at least for me, to get up out of bed early and to go help those friends and neighbors when they have a crisis. So yeah, we have some very, very committed members of our volunteer workforce. It's wonderful, the longevity. About 45% of our workforce is operating at the supervisor level. 47% of our workforce is operating at the journeyman level. 8% of our workforce is operating at the apprentice level and moving up to the journeyman level. And our recruiting is exceeding our attrition by about 1.6%. So we are continuing to add people because once people join the Red Cross, they become familiar with the mission and they want to keep on helping. It's a great organization. It's a wonderful place, not only if you want to make a difference in the lives of people in your community, but if you just want to make friends and have a great social group to hang out with. I know many of the chapters go out to eat once a month. They get together and have social events. It's very much like a family organization in the community. They all know each other, call each other by name, and it's a very close-knit group. That's what happens when you respond to disasters together.
Well, neighbors helping neighbors and an organization that's mission is to alleviate human suffering. I'm not sure I can end it on a better note than that.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to tell the Red Cross story today. Thank you for bringing attention to Red Cross Month and the work that's being done through the generosity of our donors and by the hands of our volunteers all across this great nation. Thank you, Brian.
Well, thank you for coming on and thank you for giving us a little bit of information on what's happening with the Smokehouse Creek fire and the fires up in the Texas Panhandle. And as I said, we had booked this for another reason, and I very much appreciate you coming on and pivoting and giving us some much needed insight on what's happening in our own backyard.
My pleasure.
That was Richard McAllister, who is a spokesperson and meteorologist from the Red Cross. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to find out more on how you can donate or help the situation in the Texas Panhandle.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!